From the heart of Montana, this is Big Sky Small World, Carroll College's student podcast. Enjoy!
Big Sky Small World, I can never have Montana.
Big Sky Small World is sponsored by the Carroll College Communication Center.
Helping the Carroll and Helena communities with presentations, multimedia, and podcasting since 2020.
Find us in the library or email Director Alan Hansen at ahansen@carroll.edu.
I'm not inclined to resign to maturity. If it's all right, then you're all wrong.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Crib Critics. Today, we're again bringing back a guest. Say hello to Abigail Mers.
Hello.
She's so good, we had to have her back. We're going to be continuing our thread of doing a sort of part two to the first one, although the media really doesn't have much to do with the original media, more just that this is Abby's favorites, one of her favorites in her adult life versus her childhood life. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to be talking about the show Psych, which I had never really heard of before this. So it's definitely going to be an interesting ride. Abby, I mean, what is there to say about like Psych?
I would say it is an adult favorite, but I also grew up watching it. I could not tell you how I started watching Psych. Like, I could not tell you. But yeah, it's a show where a young adult, Sean Spencer, whose dad was a police detective, he was trained from a young age to be incredibly perceptive. And, you know, maybe there's some genetic things that go along with it. But he is so incredibly perceptive and he phones in tips to the police that they believe only could come from an inside source. So instead of facing jail time, he pretends to be a psychic and pretends like he like knows these things because he's like getting them from like ghosts and spirits instead of like just being incredibly perceptive. So it's like it's a dear show to me because it's so silly. But then once you get invested in it, there are some really heartwarming moments too.
Yeah, and I'm honestly shocked that I'd never heard of this. I mean, I love a good sitcom or like overarching show where like maybe the premise is a little silly or simple, but the characters is like what you get invested in and the storyline, and especially with this one being about like detectives and, you know, solving stuff. I mean, that probably plays into a lot of people's like who are obsessed with, oh, what is it? The big true crime one. It's like the one that Katie's obsessed with, the show.
Oh, Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds. Yeah. Like people who love watching like that because they like the piece together. Well, I feel like Psych has that as well as also being more lighthearted and funny versus like serious charges. We only watched a singular episode, which we will discuss later.
Yes. But which is funny because it's an episode I would say is a more not off the beaten. It's one of the more popular episodes, but it doesn't typically follow the format that the show usually runs upon.
Yeah.
Because it's a great episode and I had to show Lexi it. But I really love video essays. And so when I was actually recently, before doing this podcast, was getting back into Psych, I was like watching video essays on YouTube about Psych and being like, oh, like, you know, because I always enjoy those things and knowing more about my favorite things and getting to learn. One of the things I learned, though, is the reason you probably haven't heard of it is because during the time there was so many procedural setup shows like that. So it often kind of got lost in
like
the mix.
Like Criminal Minds and stuff?
Criminal Minds is definitely one of them.
Well, it's been around forever.
Monk was one that was also. I think like Bones was in there.
Gotcha. So like, there was a lot of like pieced together.
Yeah. Like because it's early 2000s. No, late 2000s. I don't remember. I think like 2007, 2008 maybe.
Sure.
Was
so
made.
Like middle, I guess we
middle?
Would say.
Middle? I don't know.
That's crazy. That's middle now.
Ugh. Yeah, true.
It's going to be early soon. It'll be old. You referred to this when you were talking to me. You referred this as an Abby show. Is there a difference between an Abby show and a not Abby show? Is it just because you correlate it with yourself or other people have? Or what does that term mean?
I don't really know. It's like, it's just something that if you were to like break me down like into like little pieces, I think you would find a piece of Psych in there. so I I don't know if I talked about my family on the other podcast, but I have a little sister named Olivia. Shout out Olivia if you ever listen to this. She probably won't. She's too cool for this.
Little sisters always are too cool.
They always are. But me and her used to really watch this a lot, and like a lot of like the jokes that are made are jokes that we still make.
Yeah.
And like we just find a lot of joy in it. So like I think that's why. And also like I was probably going to bring this up at some point, but like here's a good point. When I was applying to colleges, actually, I put on the show and just played it. Like it would just like play in the background of like writing all my college essays, like answering those stupid questions on the Common App, like all of those like silly little things you had to do.
How many siblings you had and where did they go to college?
What's your parents' highest degree? And you're like, mom,
I don't know.
Mom, come over here.
Mom, help. Yeah.
Yeah. So like it was literally just playing in the background of like a very pivotal time in my life, because I'm a little bit older than Lexi. I'm 22. So I was graduating high school and applying for college in 2020. Yeah, actually in 2020, because I graduated 2021. But yeah, so I was applying for colleges in the midst of lockdown. So like there was nothing else really for me to do.
Sure.
Like I could go outside and such, but like I wasn't just locked inside. Crazy. But it just played like constantly. Mm-hmm. And so like I've watched probably every single episode. I was like ride or die when they took it off like Amazon, and I was like crying, and I actually have a box set of it of like DVDs.
Yes.
Because I was like, I will die with this show. Like this show will never leave my side.
That's so funny.
I will always make sure I have a DVD player so I can always watch Psych.
So you can always watch Psych.
Yeah.
That's so, I think it's funny because I've talked about this on other podcasts with Anna and a little bit with Jay. Well, maybe not with JD, but there's people who are like serial rewatchers and people who don't. Mm-hmm. And I am a rewatcher. I love a show that I know what's going to happen and it makes me happy. So would you call it like with specific things, would you say you're a rewatcher?
Oh, I'm a rewatcher. I'm definitely a rewatcher. I actually just read an article about rewatching, and
really?
They were talking about how why we rewatch things is because it's comforting.
Yeah.
Because it's a dynamic that we are comfortable with, and that there is no surprises. Like if you're like an emotionally mm-hmm. not a great place, rewatching is actually a really great place to like calm down your sympathetic nerves. So then you can like decompress, because like you're watching something that you're like, you're not just bored. It's not like not stimulating your brain, but it's not anything that's going to shock or surprise you.
Yeah. Because kids do it a lot. I think that's like, I talked about that with, when we talk about Winnie the Pooh with Anna, she watched Winnie the Pooh over and mm-hmm. over. And I was like, I had like three movies that I watched over, and my parents like still complain about watching the movies. Like, and my older sister will be like, oh my God, it was never not playing. And my little sister will do the same thing you do with Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Friends went off Netflix, she got a whole box set.
Yeah.
And it literally would, like, she would go to sleep and it would be playing on in her TV in her room. Because she was like afraid to be by herself.
I found a secret way of rewatching things is by forcing people you love to watch it for the first time. So you can rewatch it, but then it's like you get to watch like someone else react to it.
That is the prime way to rewatch things, I feel like, which is what half the reason why the show exists is just to like.
Just so you can rewatch
things. I'm not really rewatching. Most of the things I've never seen, actually.
Honestly, that's why your podcast brings me so much joy, is because I'm like, oh, I get to like rewatch my favorite things and like show my favorite people my favorite things.
Yeah. Cinderella, though, was a rewatch for me. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
With Anna being new too, that was so fun.
But I think no one in the room had watched Psych. Anna said that she had heard the theme song, but she wasn't.
It's a classic theme song.
It is a classic theme song.
Apparently her family watched it, but Alex had Alex seen Psych?
I don't think, no, Alex had never seen Psych. So like no one in the room besides me had ever like known what the premise of the show was.
And you jumped us in season 5.
Preface, I did show them the season 1 trailer first, so they at least got like the context of like what the show is about without revealing anything. Because like I feel like I could maybe tell you what it's about, but I feel like I'd probably give like 4 or 5 spoilers.
Sure.
But yeah, so I showed them the trailer and then we jumped into season, I think it's season 6.
I don't know. I thought it was season 5.
Who knows? I couldn't find
Abby, she also gave us a little description she gave at the beginning about how it's about this man named Spencer and he was gluing.
Sean.
Oh my God.
But spelled the correct way. This is my soapbox right now. Sean spelled S-E-A-N.
The way it's
silly.
Supposed to be.
That's silly. That's seen. That's seen.
You're hating on Europeans right now.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am. I think my my sister's boyfriend's actually named Sean with an S-E-A-N.
Like spelled the way it's...
Shout out my other sister, Maddie, if you ever listen to this.
Oh my God. Abby's just name dropping all her sisters.
I know. I just got to promote all my siblings.
I guess you kind of talked a little bit about this, but why this very specific episode? Oh, what was it named?
Last Night Gus.
Last Night Gus.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, this episode doesn't really follow as closely to like the procedural format as the rest of the episodes do. So Psych, one of the things that I love that they do is they make homages to other like series, other like movies, other just like cultural classic moments. Yeah. Like they did an Alfred Hitchcock episode. Sure. They've done a Clue episode. They do all sorts of things.
They did a musical one, right?
That's Psych, the musical. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. I didn't show you guys that because that requires so much more context. but like they do all these like homages to different types of like classic movies and TV. And I don't know why I'm referring to this as classic movies now. But Last Night Gus is an homage to The Hangover. if anyone's seen The Hangover, you can guess where this is going to go. But yeah, I chose this episode because it's like, I like was doing research before because I love the episode, but I was like, I should like check around
like
and see
what are people saying about like what episodes, because that's the thing about sitcoms, especially mm-hmm. I think any running TV, but sitcoms, because they're little stories within a bigger story. Mm-hmm. There's always like the episodes, like there's a few of them that like everyone's obsessed with. Like,
yeah.
I'm a very big New Girl person.
Mm-hmm. I love New Girl.
You love
New
Girl? So like, the episode, The Background Check.
Yeah.
That's a big one that everyone talks about. The Cooler. That's the classic mm-hmm. Nick and Jess one.
Yeah.
With their first, like, I won't spoil.
Admittedly, I'm a big Schmidt CeCe fan. So, like, any of their episodes, I'm like, I'm sat.
You're always rewatching. Yeah. I can never read.
The one where he proposes to her, oh, gets me every time. But that's a different show.
But different show. Very good, also. Go watch
New
that
Girl.
That one was later. That was like 2018 that show was coming out.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch it till much later, but it's really good. Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like, so you searched around to find the perfect episode.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I really love Last Night Gus, but like maybe it has like too much like character development to the point where it's like it doesn't pay off as well if you haven't been watching the show. So I looked around and it was the consensus that it was like the perfect 40 minutes of television they ever put out. And so I was like, great, awesome. And like I also got the recommendation for like season one, episode two, Spelling Bee. Because that's like one of the earlier episodes. It's the second episode.
Right.
So it's like you don't get the pilot stuff, but you get the dynamics and nothing's changed yet. And I did think about that one, but I was like, Last Night Gus to me is just like
more fun
to like a new person. Sure. Spelling Bee's good, but it's like,
it's harder.
Yeah.
Well, also with pilots, also they often will record pilots and show that to produce. Right.
Yeah.
So pilots can sometimes feel like totally different. Mm-hmm. To like an entire, even the first season of a show.
Yes.
And then the second season can change even more because mm-hmm. they make a pilot and we're like, hopefully we get to keep doing this.
Yeah. Well, also about the pilot is like, yeah, it doesn't feel super, super off.
Sure.
But yeah, there are definitely some things that are established in the pilot that kind of go away.
Sure.
Like one of the things that gets brought up in Last Night Gus is Sean's detective girlfriend is Juliet. Mm-hmm. Pilot episode, she's not there. It's another woman. And she's sleeping with the other detective. That's something that gets brought up, is that they're having an affair. But like, yeah, the second episode, Juliet does show up, but that she's like new and it's a whole thing. And I'm like,
sure.
And then there's like different relationships where they're at that I just appreciate more in later seasons than I do early on. So that's why I didn't show you guys season one, because I was like, I like it, but they haven't like figured out their groove yet. Like their chemistry is great. Like everything's great, but it's like not there
it's
yet.
Often like the actors will be fantastic, but like sometimes the characters aren't fully developed in the show, or the writers haven't hit their groove together until later.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's like when, again, to bring up New Girl, but like second season is like when it starts
like really
hitting
picking
its
up.
Peak.
Yeah.
And like the actors know what characters are doing. And they also had like a character switch leave in the middle. And then he came back, which was crazy. But like,
gosh, this is a psych New Girl episode.
Well, I think we can talk about sitcoms in general.
Yeah.
Because with JD, we discussed, I don't know if I talked to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Delicious in Dungeon, which is an anime.
Oh.
Because we were talking about how the Pokemon to anime pipeline works when you're younger, and how there's so much more media out there that not a lot of people, either they're a little thrown off by it or they just don't know it exists. So we discussed that and kind of just anime as a whole. So I feel like we're we're talking about sitcoms. I mean, we were discussing Ted Lasso before this started.
That
apparently
is true.
Abby almost talked about Ted Lasso today.
Gosh, I wanted to do Ted Lasso, but unfortunately, it's like it's a show that you need to watch the entire thing to get like the full payoff of truly how magnificent that show is.
That's
so true. If anyone's ever watching, watch Ted Lasso. It will change your life.
Yeah.
For the better.
But that's why we pick Psych, because you can jump in for a perfect, what, 40 minutes?
40 minutes.
Of TV.
Yeah. Well, what was I going to say about New Girl? That was interesting. Oh, actually, there was a podcast that the actors did recently, and they were talking about how they got into such a groove that, like, in TV shows you would have different directors often, like some would come back and like do multiple episodes, but you would change directors, and they got to the point where they were like, the director would be like, we're gonna shoot it from this way to do like an artsy thing, and they were like, no. Like that's not what's gonna work, I promise you. Or they'd be like, oh, Nick, like the actor who plays Nick, oh, go sit on this spot on the couch. And he's like, no, this is my spot. Like, it's literally like, you can see where I'm indented the couch. Like, he's a wonderful actor.
Everyone always talks about him and they're like, he just is Nick Miller.
He is. but yeah, so like, once you, as a cast, it's like, once you're doing like multiple seasons together, you kind of develop, like you kind of fall into your character, and it's almost like a second person to you, I think.
Yeah.
And so when somebody comes in and is like trying to be like, oh, we're going to do this. And like, you're like, no,
no,
no, we're not.
And I did like that about Last Night Gus, is there was a lot of like the characters interacting. It was like, even though I don't know their history and I don't know their future, and I really like thrown in, you could still tell that they had their little groove and their little family inside.
Yeah.
Especially Sean and
Gus.
The star of the show in this episode, honestly.
Yeah.
That's why it's named after him.
Last Night Gus.
So Gus is Sean's partner.
He's his best
crime.
Friend.
Best
yeah,
friend.
So childhood best friend since they were like kids.
Oh,
and so one of the
so cute. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, oh my gosh, you should watch more Psych.
I
it's
should.
So good. But one of the things about Gus and Sean is that, like, not about Gus and Sean. So the thing about Psych is that at the beginning of every single episode, there is a flashback to Sean's childhood in some capacity.
Sure.
I don't know if it's in Last Night Gus. I'm trying to think. No, it starts off with the dinner. The retirement dinner.
Yeah, it starts off with the dinner.
But yeah, so like most episodes start out with a flashback, and usually it's between Sean and his father, and usually it ties back into the episode some capacity. So in a lot of that, sometimes we'll see Gus in that. Like they did like Wilderness Scout together,
oh, sure.
And Henry, his father, was like the scout leader and all that. Mm-hmm. And so we see their relationship develop in their childhood, but then also like see
simultaneously as they're like adults.
As adults, because something we learned about Sean in the pilot is that Sean has had like a multitude of jobs. Like he has not held down a job for more than like 6 months. Like he's not stable. Like he's kind of a little bit of a hooligan.
Commitment phobe.
Yes.
He mentioned in the
Last Night Gus. He's a commitment phobe. Like does not, you know, was a big ladies man too.
Sure.
And so then when the whole psychic thing happened, he like ran to Gus and was like, Gus, we're starting our own psychic detective agency. And Gus is like, oh, is this like the time we tried to do like the hot dog mobile and this and that and that?
Sure.
Like, what is this different? Like, so it's it's interesting. You obviously didn't know this, but it's like, it's interesting to watch Sean develop as a character alongside Gus into actually like doing something long term.
Well, yeah. I think often when we think commitment phobe, we immediately go to like, oh, ladies man, he doesn't want to get. But commitment phobe can mean that in any sense. And so it would make sense if he has that fear of it, that he can't keep one job, because then you feel like you're stuck. And that's like the fear.
Well, something alongside that like you kind of see in Last Night Gus, but is like really developed throughout all the seasons, is his relationship with his father.
Mm-hmm.
So his father was a police detective growing up. But like he is like huff on Sean. Like you see it from the pilot. They're sitting in a diner and he's like, Sean's like, oh, can I have cake? And he's like, close your eyes. Mm-hmm. And he makes Sean go like, what's the waitress's name? Like, remember that. How many hats are in the room? How many this or that, or that, 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 you know? And so, like, he's, like, making Sean, like, practice, basically, all of his childhood. Like, Sean is not really allowed to be, like, a child, truly, because his dad has such high standards for him. And so I think it's something you see in a lot of media is, like, when you push kids too hard in their childhood sometimes, then as adults, they just don't push themselves because they're like, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to.
Like, yeah. his dad really wanted him to go into the police force, and so he doesn't. And so it's interesting to note that, like, the reason Sean is who he is because of how he was raised by his father. It's a very interesting relationship to watch develop because it is very, very tenuous and like very angry at first. And like he helps him, but like Henry just really wants Sean to be like the best he can be. But like when you're a parent, sometimes you push your kid in a direction because you think it's what's best. And then
it's not
what's best for your kid. And you don't know that. And so it's like, it's hard to like, assign blame on either one of them. And like the thing is, the lessons Sean learned from his dad did apply later in life.
And they did work.
And so it did work.
Psychic
detective. Yeah, like I'm like going on so many side tangents. The thing is that there's another episode where they're talking about the detective test with the two detectives, Juliet, his later girlfriend, and Detective Lassiter, a detective that Sean and him do not get along.
They're rivals.
They are rivals. They do not like each other. Well, Sean more just like annoys Lassiter and thinks he's kind of stuck up, and yeah. Lassiter like loathes Sean. Well, they're talking about the detective tests and they're like, oh, like I passed with like an 84, blah, 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 blah. Like when I was like 35 or when I was 27, I got a 75. Like that kind of, they're talking about that. Sure. And Sean's like, the detective test? That was easy. I got 100 when I was 15. And yeah. So they, as a psychic, they're kind of like, oh, like that's super weird that he like just passed that randomly, like pure luck.
Yeah.
And, but in actuality, Sean is like actually like a genius. Like he is incredibly smart.
Very smart.
But he doesn't apply that smartness.
So should we talk about Last Night Gus?
Yes, let's talk about Last Night Gus.
Oh, The Hangover. So basically this is set up at a retirement party for one of their retiring people at the department.
Yes. And they don't know.
They don't want to be there. The party's really lame. There's a couple of good looking girls there. Gus is definitely interested.
Yes.
Sean's girlfriend leaves and he stays to help Gus, quote unquote, get this girl and get the party going.
Yeah.
So this is kind of our cold open, right? Yeah. Where cold open ends with Sean being like, shots for everybody and getting the party started.
Yeah.
And after our cold open, the fantastic theme song, we then get a case of, did we in fact murder someone or not? And we don't remember what happened last night.
Yeah. So they wake up at the psych detective agency's office, and like, it's, if anyone's ever seen The Hangover, it's very much like the opening where it's like, oh my gosh, like there's bottles. There's like a shower cap on Sean's head. He has a gold chain.
He's wearing sandals
that don't belong to him.
His sneakers are gone.
And then like him and Gus are talking, and then they look over and Lassiter, the detective that is like loathes both of them, is waking up on their couch. And then like 5 seconds later, the coroner Woody wakes up behind him and is like, oh, come back to bed, babe. And like, and so it's this whole thing of like, I didn't do anything, you didn't see anything. Yeah. And it's like, it's this fun joke that happens, is that they were like spooning all night. And Lassiter hates it.
Yes.
But yeah, so they wake up and they're like, what happened? And then Lassiter loves his guns. Like he loves his prize handguns. And he finds one of his guns in a fish tank in the office, and he picks it up and he's like, oh gosh, my gun. And it's three bullets light. And he's like,
he's like, it's three bullets
light. He like picks it up immediately and he's like, three bullets light.
And then there's in fact three bullets missing. So now they're all looking around where the bullets goes. Where's Gus's phone?
Yeah.
Lassiter's car is missing.
Yeah, he can't find his Ford Fusion. They're like, okay, like let's not freak out. And then Lassiter and the coroner get a call from the office and they're like, hey, come in, there's a body. And they're like, okay, we gotta go to work. We'll all just drive over together and like figure this out. Cause they're like, yeah, we just got really drunk. Like it's fine. Like it's not great. Like the gun is missing bullets. It was recently fired.
Gus's car is like totaled.
Yeah, so they walk out. It's one of my favorite scenes in the entire show where Gus has a car called the Blueberry, and it's like this tiny little blue car that's like, I think it was a company car, but I can't remember. And like he like prizes it, like he loves that car. And because Sean doesn't have a license, so they drive it everywhere. And so the Blueberry, they walk out and it's like destroyed. Like it's like not like functional as a car. And so Gus is like, can I start freaking out now? And it's like losing his mind over this car. And everyone's like standing there hungover, like squinting at the sun.
And Gus is just like screaming.
Yeah, he's like
there.
Yeah, it's so funny. And then Sean's like, oh, it's just a scratch. It's just the light hitting it wrong. Like, and it's like
the light's just hitting it wrong. That's why you can see it.
That's why it's completely totaled.
So they drive the totaled car back Mm-hmm. Oh, we forgot to mention they find a picture on Sean's phone of all of them
with some drunk guy. Yeah,
that they don't know in a Hawaiian shirt,
and they're like pretty drunk. And it's like it's the classic drunk video of like Sean grabbing this man's face, and like they don't know this guy, and they're like, oh gosh, like that's weird,
that's awkward.
And so they roll up to the coroner's office in the police department. I don't know if that's typical of having a coroner's office within a police department, but that's how this is set up. They go to the coroner's and they're all sitting there. Oh, Lassiter has a black eye too.
Oh, that's true.
And it becomes a funny bit because Lassiter has sunglasses on the entire rest of the episode when they're around like
other people.
And so they're at the coroner's office and the chief's like, hey, why are you wearing sunglasses? And I can't just replay all the jokes that they told, but like Sean says like, oh, Lassiter spoke to us about like how we should wear sunglasses to autopsies and respect for the dead. I forgot my sunglasses. Gus has no respect for the dead. Like, and they're like, it's like a bit they play on. And so they pull back the sheet on this John Doe, and it's the guy in the video that they know.
With the Hawaiian shirt.
With the Hawaiian shirt, and he was shot three times. And so they're all like sitting there.
There's like slowly more incriminating evidence. Oh, they're like, he's missing his shoes. And then Sean notices the tan lines for the sandals that he is wearing.
No. They say, oh, they have like Nikes that are not even the victim's size. I wonder who they are. And then he looks down at his feet and it's the sandals. And he looks at the guy's feet. And like, because of his whole perceptive things, he can see like the tan outlines where the sandals are. And he's like, shoot. And so then he texts Gus and he's like, did Lassiter kill this guy? And then he sees a light within the dead man's like pocket. And it's Gus's phone. In the pocket. And so they pull it out and they're like, shoot, like, guys, we think we killed
Lassiter's like freaking out. Like, he's sitting there like sweating in his sunglasses.
Well, because none of them remember anything. And so they leave. And then before they leave, Juliet's like, hey, like, Sean, can we talk outside? They're dating at this point. And Sean's like, yeah, of course. And so she's like, hey, Sean, like, but you told me it was like a really, really big deal. Like, we have to talk about this. And he's like, Yes. Not now, but yes, we should talk about it. She's like, yeah, you called me last night.
You had to go be on the jury somewhere or something.
Yeah, so she had to go testify, and he's like, I gotta go solve this, but like, we'll talk about this very, very serious thing I totally remember later.
Yeah.
And so he walks back in and he's like, what? Like, what happened last night? And like Lassiter's like, I'm gonna turn myself in. I'm gonna turn myself in.
Got me. He's like, I'm gonna do it.
I gotta
No.
And he's like, well, you didn't kill the guy. Like, we just knew him. Like, we don't know.
We don't know.
And so they're like, okay, we're going to figure out what happened together before we do anything. And so they're like trying to like, and like the thing once again is like Lassiter loathes Sean and Gus.
Yeah, so,
like,
so they have to work together.
So they have to work together. And like, so everyone around them is like, Lassiter's like, yes, me and Sean and Gus are going to work on this. And they're like,
and I was like, what?
Like, what?
Juliet's like freaking out. She's like, first my boyfriend calls me about a serious thing. Now he's going to work with Lassiter. What is happening?
And then we get the wonderful joke of like, she's like, what are you guys doing? And like, Lassiter, take the sunglasses off. You put some sunglasses on. And it's like one of like the most quoted, I think, psych quotes in the fandom. Mm-hmm. It's like, you put some sunglasses on. But yeah.
I just love how this episode sets up. I love how basically the entire like first, what, 10, 15, maybe 10 minutes of it is literally just more and more incriminating evidence.
Yeah.
Incriminating, confusing evidence against them as a group, which cracks me up.
Yeah. Because it's just like it's setting up like, oh, shoot, they might have killed this man.
Like when you're watching, you're like, how are they going to like unravel this?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot to unravel here.
Yeah. 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 And it's the craziest like ride. And like, so Sean, not actually a psychic. And so he kind of needs information to kind of make his like fake psychic predictions.
He has his crash out.
Well, yeah, he does have his crash out, which is a very funny
part.
That's
a very, it was an iconic monologue. Honestly, someone should use it in the theater department.
They really should.
Do you know how it feels to not have the one gift that made you special
ripped away from you, that you could tell a child that this is an ice cream cone and hand it to them, and they're just licking air and they just skip off into the meadow? It's like it's a classic psych monologue where it's like, that makes no sense. Like that
what,
is
what is happening?
What is happening? But yeah, so Sean needs information, and so they take Gus's phone, and Slasher's like, it's evidence, it's in this dead man's pocket, so it has to go in this plastic Ziploc bag. And so the entire rest of the episode, Gus's phone's in a Ziploc bag, which is funny.
That's a very good reoccurring bit.
Lassiter has it, and he's on the phone because he's lost his car, and he's like, freaking out about it. So he's like on the phone being like, put an APV on my car. And he's like, not my car. It's the same type as my car, but not my car. Like, I wouldn't lose my car. And so while he's on the phone and his back's turned, Sean's like, hey, Gus, pretend to tie your shoe and get me the phone. And Gus is like, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, I have sandals on. Like, what am I going to do? Like, pretend to tie my laces? And so Gus has to like get down and like slowly like scoot towards like Lassiter and like pushes the phone back. Sean like swipes through the phone and he finds pictures of this blonde woman amongst like various different scenes, like a donut shop, a hotel, like a valet, like all these different things.
And this is the dead man's phone, this not is, Gus's phone.
This is Gus's phone, actually.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right. They're on Gus's. That's
yeah,
right.
They're on Gus's phone. And so they're looking through it and they're like, okay. So then they push it back. Sean gets up and he's like, oh, I have a vision.
I'm seeing a vision. That was what's really funny is like every time Sean would get info, he'd be like, I'm getting something.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I think it must have been so much fun for the actor to get to do that every time. But he's like, oh, I'm getting a vision. This guy's a stalker. Like he's stalking her. And he's
I'm seeing a woman. I'm thinking he's, yeah.
Yeah. And so they like have to go. They're like, okay, let's go back to the bar.
Oh, they find out they were drugged.
Oh, yes.
They get their urine tested and they find out they were drugged, which is why they can't remember.
Yeah.
Absolutely anything.
Like a psychoactive herb or something. Sure, and yeah. So they're like, okay, let's go to the, oh, and then Sean has this like vision because it's played. The video is played at the first part, but it's like, it's not really like, it's like 2 seconds of like footage. So it's like, doesn't footage. Really like, you don't really connect it as an audience, but like the videos of them at the bar with the two young women. Mm-hmm. And there's like a guy behind them who's like tucking his hair behind his ear, like ominously
mysterious.
And so it's like, he's like, oh, that guy tried to drug those two girls and we took those drinks. And so we have to go back to that bar and figure out who that guy is. So they go back to the bar.
Oh God.
And they're talking to the bar owner and Lassiter's like, I have questions. One, have you seen a Ford Fusion? Or at least, do you have the Ford Fusion? He's like, no. And so he's like, okay. And then they're like, oh, okay. Do you know this like
short man, guy? Swedish looking.
Swedish looking John Cryer or something. That's something Syke does a lot, is reference a lot of things.
I do know that man.
Yeah. And then he's like, Mikey. And so the blonde guy walks out and he's like,
my partner.
Yeah. He's like, yes, you baby Thor. And then he's like, yeah, this is Mikey, my partner. And Gus is like, oh, okay. And Lassiter's like, oh, like I got this, let me question him. And Sean's like, no, Lassiter,
no.
And he's like, oh, so what are you like, are you guys like own the bar together? And they're like, no. And he's like, oh, what, like you have a side business? And Sean's like, Lassiter, they're lovers, man, they're lovers in the nighttime. Like I forget the quote, but like it's like
it's really funny.
Yeah. And like something I do love about Psych is that there is some gay representation in the show. Mm-hmm. But it's especially for the time, they don't make fun of gay people or like make it like the butt of a joke.
Yeah.
Other than that situation, which is not they're not the butt of that joke. It's Lassiter.
Just the joke of Lassiter being like not understanding.
Like that what partner means.
I feel like sometimes sitcoms have the best like mm-hmm. like representation. I mean, I feel like there's not a lot of sitcom leads that are queer, which is rough to be like not great, but I've like a lot of sitcoms have like Friends had like the first gay marriage on screen.
Yeah,
go Friends.
The nanny also was very like pro LGBTQ+.
Yeah, and like, New Girl has like many like
and
it's more just like there's references to it without the butt of the joke being
gay people. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. So basically they're like, oh, he's not drugging the girls because they're gay. Like he's not interested.
That's not happening.
And so they're like, okay. And then suddenly the girl from last night like comes in and is like, hey, I think I left my card here. Oh my God, Gus. And like full on kisses him,
make out
with him. And
slugging.
Like, yeah. So then she like pulls away and she's like, why didn't you call me last night? Like, I thought we had something. And he's like, oh, like, sorry about that. Like,
sorry about that, baby.
Like, yeah. Like, he's like, he doesn't remember anything.
Get out of here right now.
Like, yeah. Like, you should come to my place right now. And like, he's like, Sean, like, I gotta go. And he's like, no. And like, they do this like fun back and forth. And he's like, Sean, like, he's like, Gus, someone's dead. And then he's like, fuck. He's like, that's my favorite thing that Gus does is the little like tongue click.
A little tisk.
Like,
tisk.
But so he walks back and he's like, oh, like put your digits in my phone. And like,
it's the phone in the plastic bag.
And so then he like gets her number and then they leave. I forget.
They go to the donut place. Cause does Sean get another vision?
Yes, I forget why, but like, so when Woody wakes up, the coroner wakes up, there's like white powder all over his face. And they're like, Woody, what's on your face? And he's like, did you guys see a small Argentinian man with a hook for an arm? And so like, that's like a cocaine bit.
Yeah.
And so then they're like, he's like, Woody, you don't have a cocaine problem. I know where we need to go next.
I think it's the photos. There's a photo of them at the donut place. So they go, the woman at the donut place. So they go to the donut place.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get a lot of information actually at the donut shop.
Yeah. And so we find out the guy who's dead is actually a private investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he's following the woman around. And
that's
so,
why they became like buds.
Yeah.
They decided to work together to help this private investigator.
Yeah. And something that's mentioned is they're like, oh, the angry guy stole my hat. And they're like, Lassiter's like, does he mean me? Like, am I the angry guy? And then they brush past that, which we'll come back to later. They brush past that and they,
one of the other donut employees goes, you killed Bobo.
That is true. That is true. Well, the funny thing is they're like, oh, we were helping him investigate. Like it's a snap and shoot adultery case. Like the woman probably killed him because she didn't want her adultery found out. Great. We solved it. We didn't kill anyone. And then a man comes out with a sawed off shotgun and what's it called? Like, not loads it, but
cocks
it, and then goes like, you killed Bobo. And they're like, we should figure that one.
We're like, okay.
They're like, okay.
Case not closed.
Case not closed. We need to figure out who the fuck
killed.
I have
video evidence. That's another recurring joke, is they keep being like, we have video evidence of you.
Yeah, that's the first time it happens where they're like, who's Bobo? And it's like the donut, like the huge donut mascot outside. That's
they ran into in the car, which is why the blueberry is destroyed.
Yeah.
And then as it was falling, Lassiter takes out his shotgun and shoots the donut statue 3 times.
Yeah. So that's why he
doesn't have... That's where the 3 missing bullets are.
Yeah. In Bobo. because he's like, I'm the head detective of the Santa Barbara Police Department. How dare you accuse me of a crime? And then they show him the video and he's like, oh shoot.
How much do I owe you?
Yeah. And so... I forget how they get to the next location. Oh, I think they see the video. And then I think Sean gets a call from his father.
Yeah,
is that the next thing?
Yes, his father's at a
hotel. His father calls him and he's like, Sean, I really think I messed up. Like, I trashed this hotel room. Oh, gosh, there's like this note on my dresser that says like 5'6", 125 pounds blonde. He's like, I think I ordered a lady of the night. Like, he's like, Sean, you got to come help me. And he's like, yeah, father, I'll be super discreet. And he's like, do not bring anyone to this. Because the father's
doesn't have pants on.
And so he's like, do not bring anyone. Sean's like, I will not. Like, don't worry. And then he stands up in front of everyone. He's like, I have a vision. We must go to this hotel. Like, to everyone. And so they go to the hotel. They go to the hotel. And Sean brings his father down. And his father, like, sees everyone. And so he's this, like, towel tucked around his waist. And then he sees everyone. He's like, Sean. And then he's like, oh, hi, everyone. And starts, like, tucking his, like, button-up shirt.
into the towel.
And something we find out in the hotel room is that the angry man who stole the donut hat
was Sean's father, who now is joined on the case.
Yeah, somehow. I don't know how that was even included. But basically, the hotel manager comes out and is like, hey, you owe me like $400. And Lassiter's like, for what? And he's like, that mattress in the pool is not a flotation device. And he's like, how dare you accuse me of that? Like, I'm the head detective of the Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I have video if you want to see. He's like, how much was it again?
How much was it? Yeah, he doesn't even see the video.
He's like, and so he's like, that happens. And so
they find out they were on a stakeout for the woman who was supposed to meet someone at the hotel.
And so the guy's like, oh, by the way, the woman you're looking for, she's here. She checked in last night. Mm-hmm. She hasn't checked out, so she's probably still here. So they go up to her room. Like, all of them go up to the room. Oh, I forgot. By this point, Juliet knows. Like, they were kind of clued her in that they're like, okay,
they roped Juliet in on it.
Yes, and then we found out that the big secret thing is that, not secret thing, the thing Sean was saying was that he wanted to move in with Juliet after only dating for 4 months, which for commitment phobe Sean... freaked him out.
Yeah.
He's like, oh gosh, what was that?
Then he, for some reason, because Sean's awkward, goes, of course I wanted to live with
you. Of course.
Why else do you think I was making room for you in my closet?
Yeah.
And she kind of knows. She's like, I thought you just liked organizing. Like,
Shrink-wrapping things. And he's like, yes, I do. But like, it's also for that. So basically they go up to this hotel room to find the girl and Sean detects, like, he's like kind of perceives immediately that there have been two people in this room and it's not just her. And then he turns around and he sees, like, I guess, like a gas valve that's
been
opened.
It was probably like a gas, like, heating system.
And so it was like like gas was like leaking out and he's like, we need to run. And so they get the like classic, like jumping over the balcony,
the motel balcony into the pool
because the room blows up. Yeah. And so then they have to like figure that out. And so they go back to the police department and their chief, Chief Vic, woman chief, shout out, rails them out for this. She's like, what the heck is happening? Like, so you guys thought Lassiter killed a man, like all this stuff. Yeah. And like, so Sean and Lassiter get into like a towel fight. That's also pretty funny.
They're like whipping the pool towels around like rat tails.
Yeah. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Have you never, like when you swing a little towel around, so it becomes rat tail.
My brother's done it to me. I didn't know that was called, a rat tail. Nice.
At least in some place.
Learn new things every day, everyone. Yeah,
there you go, listeners.
What's his name? The rapper comes in.
Random rapper cameo.
Give me one sec to find the rapper
name. He shows up. And he steals
Ed Lover. Ed,
some I think that's
Lover?
It.
Lover.
Is he a real rapper?
Yeah. So Ed Lover is a American disc jockey, radio personality, actor, musician, and former MTV VJ. And so he comes in. And so something that Gus and Sean say all the time in the show, like throughout all the seasons, is "Come on, son."
Come on, son.
They say it to each other all the time. And so that guy's, I think, is the guy who like originated that saying.
Because
he's like, ain't your mama ever tell you not to steal a guy's like gold chain? He's
and
like,
he takes the chain off of Sean's head.
And he's like, when did that happen? And he's like, come on, son. And they're like, oh my gosh. They like, Ed Lover's here. And so then Ed Lover walks away and they're like freaking out. And then
the chief is like, what?
Yeah. So she's like trying to regain this meeting. And then Gus gets a call and it's from the girl. And he's like, kindly, I'm on Gus time. Like last night, Gus had it right. I'm going to go like shoot my shot. And so he leaves and Sean's like, go for it, bud.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we got to go figure this out. And so when they're like doing a presentation on like trying to figure out like, okay, who's this woman that we think shot this man, like the adulteress. And so they're doing the presentation and they're like looking through the photos that the private eye took. And they're like at the valet, at the donut shop, at the hotel. And then they come across her of one on a date with this guy. And Sean like looks at the guy and he like clues back into like a time earlier in the episode where they're standing by like the FBI most wanted list and it like zooms on this guy with like a beard on his face.
So
they're like, he's like, I have a vision. And they go to this guy in this like closet and like makes him like digitally like remove the beard, remove the cleft chin.
And it's the same guy from the wanted sign.
Yeah. So it's like, it's this like guy who's been in hiding for years and years, like this really like dangerous guy. And so they're like, it's not the woman we're after, it's the guy. Cause like he's like, it like an adulteress doesn't matter. He has a private eye has a photo of a guy who's not been photographed in years.
And it's on Gus's phone.
So then he's like, okay, who could be accomplice to this? Like, because he's probably not doing his own stuff. So they look at his next of kin, which is a girl named Lily Jenkins, and it's a young version of the girl who was with Gus supposedly the night
at this moment.
And so we go over to Gus and Gus is like trying to like smooth her up at like in his apartment. He's like, yeah, my couch, my new TV, you know, like all those standard things. And so she pours him a drink and then
drugs it
and then gives it to him. And then we flash forward to him like drugged out of his mind. Like, and she's like, she's like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom to like fix my face. I'll be back. And so she leaves to go to the bathroom. And then we get a zoom out of Gus on the couch and standing there is the FBI most wanted man. And so he's like standing there and he's like, oh, like I have to kill you, but like I have to ask a question first. And Gus is like, it's if you've seen people on like laughing gas or something,
he's high on helium or something crazy.
He's not able to like,
why do you never give me this?
Yeah. So he's like, where's the phone? And he's like, where's the phone?
He's repeating everything he says.
And like, he's just not helpful. So he's like, I will kill you. He's like, I will kill you.
Like, he's got like a gun to his head.
Yeah. Like, and so then the police bust in. And so then they're like, hands up, like you two. And Gus is sitting on the couch still high. And then the FBI most wanted guy like starts shooting at the police. And so like they take cover. They like flip Gus's table, his coffee table. And they like have like a shootout with Gus like in the middle
of fire at a couch. On the couch. Laughing his head off going, they shot this guy's TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So they like, so he's just like having a good time. And then like one of the police like shoots the TV. And he's like, somebody shot that guy's TV. And then Sean from the other side behind the table is like, that's your TV, Gus. And so then he's like, oh, this guy's got taffy.
I love taffy.
And gets this like glass bowl. Like in the middle of the shootout that's happening, and like walks over to behind the coffee table to where like the guy's like shooting at the cops.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh gosh. And then like Sean's like, They're the bad guys. Like, we're the good guys, Gus. Gus, like, looks at the guy, looks at the taffy bowl, and, like, smashes the taffy bowl against this guy's head.
Knocks him out.
And that's, like, basically the end of the episode. And then Gus, like, is, like, flips out and is like, oh, like, my apartment.
Yeah, it was so funny. That was, like, my favorite part, though. That actor.
Yeah, Dulé Hill. Yeah.
What a guy. He like goes for it. And it's so funny.
Yeah. And then we end the episode with like Lasseter painting Bobo the donut to like fix it.
And Juliet and Sean don't end up moving in together.
Because she's like, I'm happy that any version of Sean wanted to live with me.
But let's not make a decision based on last night, Sean.
Like, let's make a decision based on us. And Sean's like, I'm not ready. And she's like, it's okay. That's where the episode ends. But it's full of great little bits. And like, it's a good homage to The Hangover without it being the hangover and like following along Sykes kind of like principles.
Detective plot.
But I think it's strong because it follows that like trope of like, okay, something has happened
and
we don't know what it is. So we have to spend the next like day or two like
figuring out
what has happened. And so I think that's a really interesting premise that I think a lot of procedural shows don't do actually.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lot of fun. Like, that's why I think Psych does really well, is because it's like, yes, we have our setup, but then we can also stray to...
Didn't How I Met Your Mother used to get really weirdly experimental in, like, the first seasons?
I don't think I ever watched How I Met Your Mother.
I've seen bits where, like, they did, like a play on old horror movies, and they do a play on, like, they do, and they had a musical episode, but that's because when you have Neil Patrick Harris, you gotta let the man sing.
Oh, you gotta let the man sing. I think a lot of sitcoms, especially in this time, do homages to different things. I think sometimes they don't work out as well.
They're not always as good.
Because, like, I think if you have, like, let's say a How I Met Your Mother setup, it's kind of, like, it's very grounded in reality.
Yeah,
and
they often do a lot of odd, it doesn't fit as well with, like, Psych being about, like, the premise to begin with is already so like
wild and weird that like if
it
you're
works.
And like also a police detective show, it's like, yeah, then you can have suspects who put you like the Alfred Hitchcock episode is a like a serial killer that comes back and is like, hey, I'm holding this person hostage. Mm-hmm. Like you have to come get them. And like they end up in a movie set and then they're like, oh, you have to play the game because if you don't play the game, he won't. Because it's like it's a yin yang thing. That's a big thing in Psych is there's this yin yang trilogy that happens throughout the season on multiple seasons. But like the last episode, it's like this big, it's an actual like big scary like thing.
Gotcha.
For the show, not like terrifying in real life, but like for the show, it's pretty dark. They kill a few characters off actually.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but they, there's like the with yin and yang, it's like yin, you like have to follow the rules, you have to play the game, and like yang's a little bit more of like the game always changes.
Yeah,
so that's something that happens. But like the Alfred Hitchcock episode, they're like, oh, we have to like all split up to go do this like thing, and we had to follow the movies, like we had to remember this movies. But then they play with it as the flash forward happens because Sean watched the Alfred Hitchcock movies as a kid. He like told his dad he was going to watch The Princess Bride,
and then he
snuck into the theater and watched the like horror screening, and so that's how they set that up. But yeah, so it's like they do different homages to different things. And I think because the premise is already so wild, it's not,
it fits more to the show.
Yeah, like the Clue episode they do, it's like They were big fans of a rock star and they were with him the night he got arrested because he like supposedly murdered his like lover. And so then he gets released out of jail and he invites them all to a party at this like mansion. And then they get the clue setup. Yeah.
Well, we are reaching the end of our time.
Oh,
yapping forever. I know, Abby.
I know.
I guess before we end this, I'm just going to ask you what you would think the Rotten Tomatoes score for this show is.
High. It is very high. It is a...
There's a critic and an audience score. So.
I think it's audience like 93.
Okay.
I think critics is like 70, 80.
Okay. So Audience is 94, so you were right there.
Look at that.
And critics is 89, so higher than you thought even. So the critics loved it.
Everybody loves Psych.
8 seasons, 2006 to 2014. That is a long running show.
Mm-hmm. And they had 3 movies actually after.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've only seen one of them.
I feel like sometimes sitcom movies weird me out. They're like a little different.
Yeah, it's like it throws me off admittedly, but then also Lasseter, the actor who plays Lasseter, actually had a stroke, I believe, in between, I think, the show and maybe the movie. I can't remember. But he is now paralyzed on one side of his body and uses a cane, which if you've ever watched the Percy Jackson series, he plays Hephaestus.
Oh.
That is the same actor. And so that's actually really incredible because he's, you know, a disabled actor now. And so they casted him as a disabled god. And so like it's really, I really like that. And so as a Psych fan, it was really nice for me to see him again, especially since like, you know, something unfortunate really did happen to him.
That's really rough. Well, thank you, Abby.
No problem. Well,
it's always
no
easy
problem.
To yap with you.
Always. I just keep yapping.
Well, everyone out there, if you haven't tried Psych, maybe give it a shot. You've got plenty of seasons to watch.
lots of episodes
Abby
for everyone.
Recommended and approved. Thank you for tuning in to Big Sky Small World. Theme music is by Alex Coulter. Please follow and leave comments on Instagram at bigsky.smallworld. Tune in next week.
Yes, I did. What's the word? We're going to have to cut this part so I sound smarter.
What if I don't?
then I will cry. what's it called? Preface. That's
preface.
It.
Preface.